Throughout this series, we're looking at that promise of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yeah, you can talk back. It's okay. God with us. But throughout this series, we want to be looking specifically at what this truth for us means. God still with us. The God who broke into our cold, lonely, hopeless, broken world, he is still stepping into our world today. As Max is fond of saying, the God who came, he still comes. And he's still drawing near. So specifically today, we want to apply that truth to something that we all have to deal with in some way. A lot of different ages in this room, those of you worshiping with us online, a lot of different stages of life, but we all have to deal with this. We want to be reminded that God is still with us in our fear. Somebody say, in our fear. Now, we don't always call it that. Sometimes we call it anxiety or depression or overthinking or lack of control, lack of sleep, lack of resources, just lack. But beneath all of those things, no matter what we call it, there is this two-word question that seems to drive most of our fear, and it is this: what if? Somebody say, what if? What if this doesn't work out? What if things fall apart? What if things never change? What if things do change? What if I don't have the strength to take on what is coming in the future? What if? What if? What I want us to see is not only through Scripture, but through the Christmas story in particular, we see that Scripture speaks directly to every what if we have in this room. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to begin there in just a moment. But I have a special treat for you today, because today our scripture reading is going to be coming from one of our Bible Land kids. 3-year-old Maisie Wagner is about to give us our scripture reading. Take it away, Maisie.
Luke 2. Now in those days, the Lord God says, Israel decree, went to the whole Roman world. Everyone went to town to register. Joseph went to Nazareth to Bethlehem because he's the line of David. He went Mary to register. He was going to marry him and expecting a baby. Well, there the time baby to be born, and she gave a birth to a son. She wrapped in cloth and lay in a manger, because there's no room in the inn. There are shepherds nearby, keeping watch of sheep at night. And suddenly, an angel appeared to them, and glory got to around, and they were scared. But the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring good news, great joy to everyone. Today, of the town of David, Savior has been born. This will be a sign to you. You find the baby wrapped in cloth and lay in a manger. More angels appeared, praising God and saying, glory God to highest and peace on earth. The angels went to heaven, and the shepherds said, let's go see this thing that God told us. So they hurried off to find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger.
Come on! We are making disciples around this place. Anybody else humbled to go open your Bible and memorize some scripture? Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I want us to pause here for just a moment and just think about these shepherds. They were the forgotten of their society. They were the nobodies. They were out in the fields for a reason. It was dangerous out there. Their work, it was dirty, it was thankless, but it was dangerous. And not only was their work dangerous, but the world that they lived in was dangerous, especially to them. They lived in a society underneath Roman oppression and rule. They lived underneath a ruler, Herod, who we would find out later was so paranoid that he'd be willing to kill babies just to soothe his paranoia. The work was dangerous. The world they lived in was dangerous. They were likely not praying for an angel that night, but that's exactly what they got. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? Terrified. Or as Macy said, they were scared. Okay, this comes from the Greek word for phobeo. It's where we get our word phobia. But this word, it's not a jump scare. It's not like, oh, I didn't see you there. No, this is like debilitating, heart pounding, paralyzing, can't move fear. And yet it's into this fear that the angel speaks. And isn't it interesting? I find this interesting. That the first human response, the first human emotion that is experienced in the birth of Jesus is not peace or joy. It's what? It's fear. They were terrified. But it's into that terror that the angel speaks this. But the angel said to them, say this with me, do not be afraid. Why? Because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. There are a few things that I want us to see in Scripture that tell us about how we deal with fear. The first thing I want us to see is that fear is natural, but it is not final. We see this in the Christmas story, but we see this through all the pages of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Think about it. Everyone that you can read about in your Bible felt fear. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Joseph, Mary, the shepherds. They all felt fear. So what does that tell us? Fear isn't a sin, it's a signal. A signal for what? A signal that something's out of our control. Or at least it's bursting the bubble of our illusion of control. It's telling us that something really matters. It's telling us that we need something or someone stronger than we are. But all throughout Scripture, we see the most common command that is given. Do not fear. All throughout Scripture, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Take heart. Take courage. Some version of that. So what do we do with that? What do we do with our what ifs? Is God just saying, hey, don't fear? No, this is something I think will be helpful to all of us. Do not fear. It doesn't mean do not feel. Have you ever tried to not feel something? You just tell yourself, stop. Stop feeling that. It's crazy, but I've done it before. I've tried to just stop feeling. How is that working for us? It's not. So when you see do not fear in Scripture, don't think, don't feel. Here's what it is actually telling us. Don't forget. Don't forget the promises of God. Don't forget who is with you. Some of you may have a doctor's appointment coming up in the next few weeks, and you're not sure exactly what you're going to hear. Do not forget who goes to that appointment with you. Some of you, you're going to be experiencing Christmas this year for the first time, and that you will not get to hold your loved one. Do not forget who holds you. Do not forget who goes before you. The things that we fear the most, fear really begins with an imagined future in which God's not in it. God is not time bound. There's no future that you can imagine that he is not already in. So do not forget who goes before you. Do not forget who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not fear doesn't mean do not feel. It means do not forget. I began to go through Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, the most common command in all of Scripture is do not fear. So I started in Genesis, went to Revelation, and I started to see this pattern. See if you can pick up on it. In Genesis, do not be afraid. I am your shield. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God goes with you. Do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. What is conceived is by the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And then finally, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. From Genesis to Revelation, we see this pattern that fear loses its voice when God's promises are louder. Did you pick up on the pattern throughout Scripture? Every time there is a do not fear, there is a promise. And every time there is a promise, the promise is God himself. Is that not the beauty of the Christmas story? That God came and he didn't just give any gift. He gave the gift of himself. Do not fear. Attached to a promise. The promise of himself. There are a couple things today that I want us to see what happens with the gift of God's presence. First of all, we see this. God's presence turns fear into peace. It certainly did for those shepherds. Let's continue to read. We'll go back to verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Do not be afraid." What is the promise? The promise is good news of great joy. The promise is today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Once again, we see it, don't we? He's giving the gift of himself. The answer to the shepherds' fear. It's not more power. It's not more position. It's not more prestige. They had none of those things. After the angel appears, they didn't have more political power. What did they have? They had the power of God's presence. You know, fear has a way of asking the question, what if? But faith has a way of making a declaration of an even if. Some of you need to turn some fear into faith, and you need to turn some what ifs into some even ifs. Well, what if I don't get into that college or that program? I talked to someone today who they had all their hopes and dreams based on getting into this program. They needed a 65 and they made a 64. What do we do now? Well, what if I don't get into that program turns into even if I don't get in? God is with me. What if the cancer comes back? Again. Even if it comes back, God is with me. You want faith to well up in your life, then replace some what ifs with some even ifs. The second thing that we see God's presence do, God's presence turns fear into courage. Let's see how he did that for these shepherds. The shepherds said to one another, say this with me, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Interesting to me, you have these shepherds who are, by the way, terrified, yet we see they were not frozen in their fear. They could have made all the excuses. They could have said, nobody wants to hear from a bunch of shepherds. They could have said, even though we know this is true, they could have stayed frozen in their fear. Yet they moved. Have you ever, maybe terrified's a little strong of a word, but have you ever really been just extra uneasy about sharing your faith with someone? Well, what if they What if they don't like what I have to say? What if it's not the right time? What if they reject what I'm saying? What if they reject me? And here come those what ifs again. Maybe a guy stands up on a platform and he says, "Hey, just take one of these cards and just give it to someone and say, I'd love for you to be my guest." And there's something in you that just goes, "I don't know about that." Can I remind you that the first evangelists after the birth of Jesus were terrified? They were terrified shepherds. But here's what happens when they see Jesus. When they had seen him, say this with me, they spread the word. Come on. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They moved. Why? They were compelled. They had found some good news that was too good to keep to themselves. And so they went and they spread the word. God doesn't erase fear. He turns it into courage. Now, I've prayed this prayer. I would love for God to erase my fear. The what ifs that I have in my life, I'd love for those just to say, God, would you just take those away? And he just takes them away. But he is doing a work in us. And he wants to take that fear and he wants to turn it into courage. You can clap for that. It's a work that we don't always see or always feel, and it doesn't feel good. But he is good. He is good. And the work that he is doing in you, it is good. Can I tell you about a time I stood in a hospital room on Christmas Day? Alicia and I were there, and I was filled with a lot of what ifs. We were there because our son, our third oldest, Weston, who is about to graduate college. Yes. Yes. He was not even two at the time. Came down with double pneumonia. So there we are, young parents, still don't even know what we're doing, and standing there looking at our son. We can't hold him because we're looking at him through this little plastic oxygen tent. And I just remember looking in there and just seeing his little chest just cave in. He's just struggling to breathe. You talk about some what ifs. What if he doesn't get better? What if this changes our lives forever? What if we miss something? What if the doctors don't know what they're doing? What if I need to figure something out that we could do for him? What if I'm going to miss it? And the what ifs on top of the what ifs on top of the what ifs began to layer up, and fear began to well up in my heart. I'll never forget that moment, but I will never forget the one that followed it, because something else started to well up in my heart. And it wasn't fear this time. It was peace. Peace that I cannot explain. Peace that I don't remember the exact words that God gave me, put on my heart, but it was something like this. What I couldn't hold, God held. And where I couldn't be, God already was. And his presence... His presence gave me peace and even courage. What I learned that day was that fear, it's natural, but it is not final. And God's presence can turn fear into peace and into courage. I wonder where you are today. Maybe your fear is not health related. Maybe the what ifs, the things that keep you up at night, maybe they're family related. Maybe it's about your kids, about your parents. Maybe it's about your finances. Maybe it's got something to do with your future. I know right now the Eats family, we have a lot of unknowns in the future. Annie's going to be graduating high school this May. Not really sure exactly what that next move is. She's figuring it out. I got two that's graduating college, and they're figuring out what their next move is. My oldest, he's already graduated, but now he's kind of figuring out what his next move is. And then there's me and Alicia. We're trying to figure out what the empty nest is going to be like. I hear it's pretty good. Not a whole lot of clarity for any of, well, okay, there's clarity for me. Party at the Eats house next year. Empty nest, baby, here we come. But there's not a lot of that, yeah, we know what that's going to be like. So we're all kind of in that place. But this is the promise of Emmanuel. You will never have to face your future alone. So I don't know what that what if is for you, what's keeping you up at night, what that is in your future that you're going, I don't know. Here's what we know. Even if God with us, it is the promise of Emmanuel. Let's get real practical just real quick, because I want you to leave today equipped for this next week. Sometimes you hear a message and you're like, what do I do with that? Here's what I want you to do with it. Remember those what ifs, those old what ifs, what if, and you've got your own, but here's a few. What if this falls apart? What if I'm not enough in my own strength to carry what's coming in the future? What if things don't change? What if things do change? What if we took those old what ifs and we replaced them with some new what ifs? And people all across in this room, worshiping with us online, we're in different places in our spiritual journey. But especially if you are in a place where you're still exploring the claims of Christ or you're still figuring out what it is that you believe, I am so glad that you are here. Please keep coming back. Keep seeking with all of us. But you might want to replace some old what ifs with some new what ifs. What if God really is with me? What would that future look like? What would change in my behavior if that were true? What if God's promises really are true? What would that change? What if I'm never alone? Some of you here today, you feel severely alone. What if you're not? What if, okay, here's the challenge for this week. What if you replaced one what if this week? That moment where fear starts to well up, but this time you recognize it for what it is. That old lie from the enemy that comes in the form of that what if. This time you catch it. Well, what do you do with it? Well, you take that what if and you turn it into an even if. What if this is beyond my control? What if this is beyond my strength? Even if this is beyond my strength, God is with me. So when that happens this week, be ready, be alert, be sober-minded, and watch the power of God's presence turn fear into peace and into courage in your life. Now, if you didn't need this message today, then I guarantee you somebody else will. You are going to come across somebody dealing with some serious what ifs, and God's gonna put you just right there where you live, work, learn, and play. And you are gonna be his ambassador to speak truth into their life. That's what we can do this week. Can I tell you, let me give you something to do right now in this moment before we leave this place. I want to give you three things that we can do right now in this moment. First of all, I want to encourage you to be honest with yourself and name your fear. You cannot surrender what you're not willing to name. Take a moment. You don't have to say it out loud. Just, what is it that the Spirit is surfacing for you right now? That fear, that what if that's keeping you awake at night. Fear comes a lot of times when the heart is carrying something outside of its control. Maybe that's where you'll find it. Many times we fear where we trust God least. I mean, we don't intend to not trust. It just happens to be that way. That imagined future without God in it, it creates fear. Name your fear. Be bold, be courageous. That thing that you don't want to say even to yourself, and you sure don't want to say it to anyone else, name it. It will begin to lose its power. And after you've named it, then give it to God. Here's a verse that I would encourage you to underline. Easy to memorize. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid. Notice it doesn't say if I am afraid. Remember, do not fear doesn't mean do not feel. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Underline it. Let it become a mantra for you. Give it to God. Even now in this moment, take that fear and give it to Him. Say, God, I am releasing this to you. It is beyond my control. It is beyond my strength. I am giving it to you. Go ahead. Just pray that simple prayer to Him now. And now what He's going to do is He's going to start turning that fear into peace and into courage. And you're going to experience that, and you're going to want to do this. Number three, you're going to want to share good news with someone. Don't keep it to yourself. The shepherds, they could not contain it. Don't contain the good news. Let God turn your fear into courage and share that good news with someone. There is someone in your sphere of influence, someone who trusts you. Maybe they don't know about pastors, they don't know about churches, but well, they've seen something in you. And your testimony is something that can be powerful in their life. Your invitation to come to a service could be powerful in their life. Who do you know that needs to know that God is still with us? This past week, we had an opportunity to go spend some time with family over the Thanksgiving holidays. And so while we were traveling, I got the privilege of speaking at the church where our two college kids go, their home church there in their town where they go to college. And after I spoke, I was out in their lobby, and a girl came up to me, and she said, "I heard you talking about fear. Can I tell you what I'm afraid of?" I said, "Yeah. It's powerful when we name it." She said, "Today is my first day here, and I was afraid to come today." I said, "Well, can you tell me why you decided today? Why did you come today?" She pointed to her friend right there beside her, who was grinning ear to ear. She said, I was afraid to come today." She pointed to some tattoos on her neck. She said, "You can tell I don't look like the majority of the people around here. But more than that," she said, "I grew up in a church where people told me that I would never be forgiven for the sins that I'd committed." I know I had the same reaction. I can't believe anybody would say that. She said, "There were specific things that happened that they said, there's no grace for you. So yeah, I was afraid to come today for fear of rejection. I told her, I said, okay, we have to underline this in your Bible. She said, I don't have a Bible. I said, Weston, you got to go find a Bible. And he ran to their hospitality area. They had a Bible. Of all the places he could have gone, they had a brand new leather-bound Bible that they give people who don't have them. He comes right across the lobby back to me, and we open up to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. I bring to you good news, great joy for all the people. She just stared at those words, and she looked up. She was fighting the tears. And she said, well, I guess I am an all people. If you have ever questioned whether God's grace could reach you, I just have one question for you. Are you an all people? Because if you are, his grace is for you. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for her and for you and for all people. That's why it's good news. If you've never received that gift of grace, maybe that's why God has brought you here today. You do not have to leave here without the full assurance that you've received that gift that we've been talking about. And every promise throughout Scripture, it can be yours, but you have to surrender your life. You have to trust Him. Remember the verse, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. So here's what I want to invite you to do. If you've never placed your trust in Him, or it's the first time, or it's a first time in a long time, you've been walking your own way and you're coming back to Him, we're going to pray a prayer together. Now, this prayer is not some magic set of words. It's just a way for us to be honest with ourselves and honest before God and to say, I trust you. I'm surrendering my life to you. And after we pray that, maybe someone in this house is making that decision for the first time or the first time in a long time, we're going to invite you to stand. We want to applaud you. We want to celebrate. Heaven's already celebrating. Heaven doesn't have to wait on us to know that you've made a decision. Scripture tells us they're already having a party because of you. Because of you. So we're just going to invite you to stand so that we can join the party. Let's pray together. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.